All right, so normally, most people that know me, I'm always joking around. I'm not very, very serious. And so at my house, they say that we have, Tina has four kids, but everybody knows really five, right? It's like an episode of Everybody Knows Raymond at my house. So I'll start out with a joke, then we'll get very serious.
Yeah.
All right? These are a Mother's Day joke, a mother's logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. How many times have we heard that? We're gonna break our neck every time we fall, right? Humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. And lastly, justice. Mama's always teaching us justice. And how many times have we heard this? One day, you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
God is God of justice.
Well, that's the way it is. We each have our cross. Women, you got to carry it. All right. Today, again, we want to reiterate, we're here to worship God. We're honoring our mothers, and that's a great thing, and I think that pleases God.
Yes.
But we are here to learn what God has to teach us through women and through the motherly role.
Yeah.
So we're going to finish in a positive way, and we're going to look at those great women of the Bible, those great women of Jesus' ministry, and his mother and other women that stood at the foot of the cross. We'll finish with that. That's an uplifting message, but we're going to go down into the trenches first. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. Many people may not know of this story, right? And those of you who do might be shocked, and it's quite graphic, but we're going to go through this.
Come on.
You know, before I start this, I want to preface this sermon with a quote from Mike Tyson. Did you ever think you were going to hear Mike Tyson at church? Sheridan is sweating right now and is thinking about pulling the mic. Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right? At church. It's pretty true.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone, semicolon. There was no one else in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I was, keep going up, while your servant was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son on my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no, the dead one is yours and the living one is mine. Sounds like my kids. And so they argued before the king. The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought the king a sword, and he gave an order. Cut the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Sounds like a man's plan for a lot of problems, right? The woman, whose son was alive, was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.
Yeah.
King Solomon, known to be the wisest, has a pretty unique way of deciphering out moms, right? The mother knew right away at daylight, this is not my baby,
yeah.
Right? Now, here's the thing. I talked to you about Mike Tyson's quote, right? But if you look at it, most people come up at a sermon and it's great they make a point. I'm not gonna make any points today. I'm gonna leave you with questions, all right? Because I really want you to search this out. I want you to search your own heart. And this isn't just for women, this is for men.
Yeah, come on.
See, if God created man in his likeness, then all creation, man and woman, can learn and appreciate the role of a mother.
Yes, right, yes.
Right? Today, when you leave, I hope you have a better understanding and admiration for our God.
Yes.
That God's plan for salvation began with the love of a son for his father. See, the father was disconnected and sad because he wanted to be with his children, us. And the son saw how sad his father was. So the son decided to come down to earth and bear our sins and bear suffering to reunite us with our father. The relationship, a father who longed for a relationship with his children. But that plan began with a mother. And so Carl illustrated that so perfectly. When we look at that story, here's this. We're going to break it down and then we're going to leave some questions for you. Both were prostitutes. So they were both sinners, just like us. Everybody there was a sinner. No woman was more righteous than the other. I heard someone in the crowd say, "Ooh, evil." When we answer these questions, you might be examining yourself.
Right, come on. Come on.
Both of them lived in the same house. We're all on equal footing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I know we live in a society today, a very scary time, where everyone likes to claim the victim and blame somebody else for their problems or their predicament, right? But God shows us we were all in the same house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of us are a little bit more fortunate with material things, or have parents, or had a mom. But before God, we come from the same house. That's we're from the same lineage.
Come on.
The thief always comes in the night, Jesus said. And he steals life. Okay? And in darkness, there's deceit.
Yeah.
Right? But in the next morning, 3 days later, by no surprise, guys, three is a very powerful number in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
And death always comes with threes.
Yeah.
Okay? So when we think about it, was Abraham any different with Isaac? It was only until the sword was put to him that his faith was tested. Was David any more faithful than any other man? It was only when he had the sword and he stood behind Saul, ready to kill him, was his faith tested. So were these two mothers. Okay? Now the king asked for a sword. Why? Because everybody in this room knows that the Bible is a double-edged sword. Living, powerful, right? Capable of cutting to your spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible is a sword, and it is precise. God says that those scriptures examine our heart.
Yes, they do.
So what does the king call for? A sword. But it's really the scriptures. Right? Because he's going to cut right to the mother's heart.
Yeah.
Both of them. The story ends with one person choosing sacrifice for love greater than herself. The other chooses misery for all. This is the ultimate battle of God versus Satan.
Yeah.
That's what this story illustrates.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, Satan was in heaven.
Yep.
He was a magnificent angel at one point. And he had tremendous power. And he was one with God. But he saw what God had, and he wanted it.
Yeah.
And we live in a society today where it's all about having it now and having it your way.
Yeah.
Preach.
Right? And the bottom line is this. Wherever you are, spiritually, relationship-wise, economically, right, politically, wherever you are in your life, right, we keep being told that somebody else has something that was rightfully ours. But that's not true. Unfortunate things happen to you.
That's right.
But that is not true.
That's
Stop coveting your neighbor's life.
Yeah.
Your neighbor's possessions.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's one of the vital commandments that God talked to us about. Yeah. It's almost like a root evil of all the things that lead to murder, infidelity.
Yeah.
It's coveting something that was never yours and thinking that somebody else has something you deserve and it's better than what you have. I've spent a lifetime chasing after success, only to every time I reach it, never be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I've had a great life. I have a great life. I am very, very blessed by God. And I chase these things continually. It's a sin and a blessing, right? But I'm so grateful that my wife and my mother and some of the women in this room, some of them that I really look up to, right? People that I've seen here, that I've grown with, hold me accountable, humble me, right? So we're gonna ask you guys some questions. Do you covet your neighbor's possessions? See, my mom always used to say, stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know if you guys ever heard that statement.
Yeah.
But we grew up a mixed family in a poor neighborhood, and my parents just worked so hard. They didn't take help from anybody. They worked and worked and worked and worked. And they wanted a better life for their children, and they did that. But my parents would always say, you're never gonna be happy if you just want what's over the fence. They used to say, stop looking at the grass on the other side of the fence. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. And we would have neighbors, as we would work hard, and we got a pool in our backyard, like the first one of them on the block with a pool. It was tiny, but it was a pool, right? And then the neighbors started getting pools, you know? And we were able to see how other people struggled to, and it was a rat race, trying to keep up with each other. Right? Do you cover your neighbor's possessions? Number two, in your selfishness, do you snuff out life? If your only care is to hold on to something so tight, you just might squander its value. See, this mother put this baby so tight, she killed it by laying on it. She crushed it, she squandered it. Right? She coveted it. She idolized it, this baby. And it killed it. It killed her joy, because nothing comes before God.
Yeah.
I've seen some horrible terrors in my life, okay? As a soldier, as a fireman. And I'll never forget the shrieks of a mother screaming. As a young fireman, the day before Christmas, when she lost her children, and that mother, we had to hold her on the floor because she wanted to run into that burning building to get her children. And you know, that wasn't gonna happen, that couldn't happen. And that sound is unique, right? But the truth of the matter is that if you hold on to this life and it's your only life, right? Then you might see that tragedy as terrible, just a scream, right? Now that mother, she's rebounded. Years later, there was a small child that we rescued from that house, right? We wound up getting to coach that kid playing football. He had burns all over his body. Became a great football player. He's going to go to high school now. I asked him one day, what happened to you? Where did you get those burns? He tells me the story. And I didn't realize that 10 years ago I was at that fire.
Wow.
Right? So I told him that story, and then he told me how well his family's doing and how they had recovered. The mother moved on. This other mother who lost her baby, she couldn't move on. She was moving to plan B,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you hold on to what you have so tight that you smother it? Is it your marriage? Is it your children? Is it your education? Is it your job? What are you smothering? What are you holding on to so tightly that you're forgetting why you're here? See, because mothers always have a unique perspective. If I came home and I had bruises on my shin because girls were kicking me in the schoolyard, my mother would say, that's because they like you. You know? It didn't matter. Mom always had an answer for something, yeah. Right? Their perspective is different because it's about life. It's about giving, right? Dads, we have unique gifts,
yes,
and perspectives that God given us. And the sitcoms on TV are funny, but they're really not true,
That's right?
That's right.
You know, we try to problem solve from the outside in. That's great. That's half the equation. God wanted it that way. Mothers generally try to solve from the inside out.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Are you the type of person that is so bitter that you want everyone else to suffer when things go wrong for you? When you lose the game, do you take your football and go home? Right? And the other kids are left there not playing? My sons try that sometimes. Right? We are fierce competitors, right? And so that's a great thing, because nobody should ever accept losing without trying their best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But taking your football and going home, that's a terrible skill, right? Because eventually nobody's gonna play with you anymore, right? So I wanna ask you guys, are you that bitter? When you're single for so many years, or you're a widow, or your marriage has gone south, or your children don't turn out to be what you wanted them to be just yet, right? Because the end is what matters, the end.
Yeah.
Bible says, raise them in the way of the Lord, and in the end, they will not part from it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We just pray we can see it.
Yeah.
But do you sit there and look at other people's lives, their home, their marriage, their children, and say, why not me? I wish, you know, the system's rigged. Right? Because, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
God says the sun shines on the wicked and the righteous.
Yeah.
Right.
We all come from the same house, the same lineage.
Yes.
Do you know that the word of God is a sword and it's wielded by a king? We serve a loving and merciful God. That's his greatest quality. But he wields a sword.
That's right.
And he's coming to wield it. Right? And I definitely appreciate that, because at the end of the day, if I think I could beat you, I'm gonna go for it, because that's my sinful nature. And I need to know that there's a king and he's wielding a sword, and so do you.
Yeah, come on.
Because judgment will come upon us.
That's right.
When you look at these two women, I ask you guys, you men and women, it's so easy for us to, at the start of the story, say, first of all, how could this be real? How could God create someone who could do this? Right? And it's so clear cut, good and evil. But I can tell you that every day in our life, it's not, that area gets very gray for us. Told you a tragic story about it, one mother, right? I had a fire where a mother killed all of her children and then lit the house on fire. She killed herself, too. And I struggled for a long time trying to find the answer. This story always, it got me through it. The sun shines on the wicked and the righteous. And you are only one decision away from being wicked. Every day when you wake up.
Yeah, right. Come on.
You're one decision away from being wicked. But through the cross, you're also one moment away from salvation. There's nothing you can't come back from.
Yes.
There's no experience that you've experienced that is so great. There's nothing that you've done that's so terrible that you can't be forgiven.
That's right. That's right.
There's nothing that God can't turn around and refine.
That's right.
And that's the end of the sermon, where we get to the uplifting part. Church, there are many examples of great women in the Bible. John 19:25. In all of the four Gospels. The very last paragraph of the death of Jesus speaks about women.
Yeah.
All the Gospels tell a different perspective, right? So people say they conflict each other. They don't. You know, someone's adding a little bit more color to the picture.
Yeah.
That's just the way it works. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Keep going. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." In his dying breath, the last thing he did was take care of his mother.
Yeah.
But in his dying breath, the last thing she did was take care of him. Mm. She was there to the end.
Yes.
Go to Mark 15:40.
Come on.
Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. Jesus' relatives, some of these women in Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him. Keep going down to the next one. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. The Bible talks over and over again, they supported his ministry. And we know that most of the apostles, the men, fled. And if people don't realize that Golgotha, right? The way that it's situated, it wasn't like on this hill far away where, you know, only the people that made the journey up there could see him die. The hill was at eye level with the city, the gates of the city. So it's kind of like this auditorium, right? Everybody could see Jesus's face, because if he was being crucified about midway through this auditorium, that's what it was like from the people from the village as they mocked him, right? And other people ran off. They were afraid. They were like, "I don't want to be associated with this guy because maybe his plan isn't real." They were moving to plan B, like that other woman, for a time. Thank God these men came to their senses, right? But initially, were they not like the mother who said, "Let me switch babies"?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But not the women. It doesn't say anywhere that the women left.
That's right.
You know, a lot of us men, we care like what people think about us. You know, my wife always tells me what I should think about myself, right? Because she's right.
That's true.
You know, and a lot of times I'll make a decision based on how it appears to others, what's appropriate and proper, you know? And my wife will say, "It doesn't matter what it appears like, you gotta show it for what it is."
That's right.
And I fight with her and I get angry and then I agree. For anybody that challenges me, you should fight and agree.
That's exactly right.
So we're gonna close here. The women in Jesus' life, in their finest moment, in their finest hour, were brave, they were principled, they were loyal, they stood, they kneeled, and they wept at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
My mother is one of those types of women.
Yeah.
And my wife is that type of woman.
Yeah.
And so many of you in this room are also. And I've seen you grow up, and I've seen the power in you. I've seen people come back from things that they didn't think they could.
Yeah.
So, church, when we celebrate Mother's Day, let's thank God that he gave us a mom. Let's thank God that he gave us a plan. And let's finally thank God that when we are the woman who wants to swap the baby, we don't judge that woman.
Come on.
That's right.
Come on.
All right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Because we're all sinners standing at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.